Hello and welcome. Scare track. Scare Track Podcast.
Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my God!
I'm scared myself!
Kate Monroe is screaming. Spoiler alert, freaking awesome.
The
quality of the set was amazing.
Hello and welcome to the Scare Track Podcast. My name is Mikey and on today's episode we are interviewing Dean of the Dead. We discuss his horror hot sauces, his work on movies with Jeepers Creepers 4 and The Last Retreat, and most recently his collaboration with the brand new movie on Shudder, Fried Barry. Dean also reveals a brand new exclusive collaboration on this episode, and we finish with a cool discussion about the 2020 Halloween season last year. So, without any further ado, please welcome Dean of the Dead onto the Scare Track Podcast.
You're listening to Scare Track.
Hi, folks, and welcome back to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. Like I said in the intro, I am joined today with Dean of the Dead. Dean, how's it going, buddy?
Mikey, I'm good, thanks, man. I'm good. Thanks so much for having me on, dude.
No, it's awesome. I'm so glad you can come onto the podcast. We've been chatting for quite a while now, trying to find the perfect time for us to get on, have a good old chin wag, because there's loads of stuff that we can go through with you today, Dean, from horror events, photo shoots, working on films recently, of course, your famous Dean of the Dead horror sources, and I know you've got a new collaboration that you're going to give us an exclusive on at the end of this podcast as well. But let's start at the beginning, man. When did you find your first love for horror? Where did that sort of start?
So when I was a kid, basically my stepdad, he used to run a video store in North London. So I'm originally from Enfield in North London, in a little town called Edmonton. He used to run a video store there. Nice. And I must have only been about 6 or 7, I guess. And obviously we used to get free run of the store. We used to run around, me and my brother and my sister. And I always used to gravitate towards the horror section. It was the covers. Yeah. The covers just fascinated me. And I guess around that time it would have been sort of late 80s, early 90s. So it was all those really kind of colourful, you know, like the Evil Dead covers. Yeah. There's an artist called Graham Humphreys. I don't know if you heard of him. He did like the Nightmare on Elm Street cover. He did the Evil Dead cover. All those kind of really colourful, cool. And it was just that I sort of gravitated towards it. And as a kid, I was just like, what is this? And then I'd sort of flip the video case around and you'd see like some of the images of like, you know, bugs crawling in people's mouths and people getting chopped up. And I was like, what is this? Yeah, nice. And I was just kind of drawn into it. And then I was really, really drawn towards the Nightmare on Elm Street series. Yeah. Like just the character of Freddy, the image of Freddy, like just kind of equally fascinated and terrified me at the same time. So much so, like, and then I was constantly going on about it to my mum. Like, I want to watch these films. You know, I was like 6 or 7. She's like, you're not watching that. So, you know, I'd go around my grandparents' house and they'd take me down the video shop and ask me what I wanted. And I'd pick out Freddy and they would be like, is that all right with mum? Like, yeah, she said it's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was 6 or 7 years old watching Nightmare on Elm Street, Dream Warriors.
It's good to use the grandparents for that, though. I used my grandparents to let me watch the wrestling. My mum wouldn't let me, but you know what I mean? It's the same sort of thing. You pick out the video, it says rated 18. It's like,
exactly,
my 8-year-old watch that? But how it starts, man. Hannah was exactly the same. She was watching Hellraiser at 6.
Right.
Yeah, I blame the parents, man. But
definitely.
But yeah, so from a young age, it was basically you going to the video store, which sort of, you know, got you hooked on horror then.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And then I just, you know, even at school, I think I don't, I had a Freddy Krueger club at school, you know, and nice. I was trying to rope in my friends, and they were just like, you know, everyone else wanted to play football, and I just wanted to, you know, recruit members to the Freddy Krueger club.
What would happen in this Freddy Krueger club? I'm a bit nervous nothing. To ask.
Nothing, actually, nothing happened, because no one wanted to join, so it was just me.
Oh, no. I would have joined you.
Cheers, man. We can start one now, actually.
Yeah, hell yeah, let's do it. Yeah, definitely.
We'll chat about it later.
Yeah,
that.
Off air, definitely. There you go. It's an exclusive there, guys, for starting up our own secret club. So what was the first sort of direction you went into when it comes to horror? Then obviously we've followed you on your social media, on your website. You've got your sort of you dip your toes in so many different ponds, whether it be working on the Last Retreat film, doing your photo shoots, creating your hot sauce. As you were growing up, what was the first direction you sort of went in?
Well, I'm a musician as well, so when I left school when I was 17. And I sort of signed a publishing deal with Polygram at the time, and I kind of went in a musical direction. Yeah. I always kind of wanted to go like anything sort of creative, anything artistic. You know, I've always wanted to get into filmmaking and all that kind of stuff. But I just kind of went in more of a musical direction, and then that became the sort of job for years. But I was always trying to think of a way that I could incorporate my passion for horror in something or other. And I was thinking, well, it was, you know, music, you know, we're just a rock band, you know, it wasn't heavy enough to sort of dress up like Rob Zombie or anything like that. So I think when the first time I ever actually kind of, you know, did anything, put anything out there that involved my passion for horror was the Hot Sauces. That's what really gave me the platform to just kind of be as creative as I want.
Yeah,
you know, roping the horror genre and it literally it's just branched off into so many different directions, you know, into the scare attraction industry, hence why I'm talking to you now, into bigger movies themselves, like Jeepers Creepers, we'll chat about that later, events, working at horror events. So yeah, I guess that was kind of my first leap into, you know, doing anything horror-wise or putting, you know, anything out there.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's talk about that first, and let's talk about Dean of the Dead Hot Sauces. I know you do jams as well now. Tell us about them. You know, I've tried them. If anyone here is a fan of the Pumpkin Podcast, you'll see a whole selection of us try them on the Wheelie Wheelie Hot Challenge. And, man, my taste buds are not strong whatsoever. These... These are spicy for me. Well, they're very hot for me. Do you want to tell us a little bit about each one and sort of where they are on the hotness scale for us?
Yeah. And I'll just go back to the Pumpkin Podcast very quickly. Yeah, Callum has tucked a few... Shout out to Callum, man. He's tucked a few people up with those hot sauces. Definitely. So, yeah. I'll see some looks of pain on people's faces. Yours included, Mikey. That was a good episode.
Thanks.
So basically, yeah, the idea was how the whole hot sauce thing came around was I went to where I live in Hertfordshire, and quite near to where I live, there's a chili festival that takes place every year, which has become like increasingly popular every year. Yeah. It used to be a 2-day event. Now it's like a 3-day event. They have like comedians and live music now. And it's a really cool family event. And I was sort of going along to it. As nothing to do with horror, just as a sort of spice lover. And I came away from that thinking I'd really love to give that a go, and I loved how, you know, everyone was so creative with the labels and the label art. So and I kind of had this name Jeepers Reapers knocking around in my head. I was like, oh, I could do something with this. Definitely. So I think that's when I kind of sat down with a pen and paper and I started brainstorming all the different like film titles and kind of, you know, turn them into like puns. And so for example, we have, I'll run through the range quickly. So you have sauce. So obviously the movie Saw, which is an apple and jalapeno flavored hot sauce. You have the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which is a cherry and chipotle. These are in heat order, by the way, as well. Nice, so yeah. The sauce one is sort of the lowest.
Still
mild.
Pretty damn hot, dude. Still pretty damn hot.
Still got a bit of a kick. He's still got a bit of a kick to it. And Laura's the same. My partner's the same as well. She can't go any higher than that one. No. She says that one's still has got a bit of a boo to it. Yeah, then you've got the Texas Chain Sauce, I think, which is like cherry and chipotle. You've got a Naga Mare on Elm Street, which is stepping it up a bit there. So it's peach, mango, pineapple, and Naga chili. Then you've got AmeriKN Werewolf in London, which I'm really proud of that one. Yeah. That was a good one. which is like a tropical fruit and cayenne pepper flavoured one. What else have we got? Periscoval Activity, which is blueberry and ghost pepper. Jeepers Reapers, which is strawberry, Carolina Reaper. And then you've got the Exorcist, which is the one that every time it comes up on the board on the Pumpkin Podcast.
Kills you, man.
Callum gets a stiffy every time that one crops up, man. That's got a big kick to it, that one. Definitely. Which is pear and pineapple. There's a bit of Carolina Reaper, there's a bit of ghost chili, there's some habaneros in there.
It's hot. You know, a lot of people I know who obviously like hot sauces, chili sauces, things like that, they say that they're very tasty as well. I just taste fire. But definitely, I know people that do enjoy them. If you like hot sauces, guys listening now, check out DeanOfTheDead.com. Get your hot sauces from there. And it's sort of over time, it's sort of expanded as well, hasn't it, Dean? You do jams as well. What else have you got on selection at Dean of the Dead Hot Sauces?
Yeah, so I've got I've got some chili jams. There's two at the minute. I've got one called the Evil Spread, which is like a raspberry and Carolina Reaper, and then there's one called Night of the Living Spread, which is pineapple Scotch bonnet flavor. And I've got a few other names lined up, but I need to kind of just work a bit on the flavors for those. And then I've got some rubs. I'm trying to just expand it. I'm trying to just constantly like add to the arsenal of stuff that I've got. And yeah. You know, I'm even kind of moving into, so I've got like these seasoning rubs that I'm doing at the minute. You've got like Grain to Busan, which is like a Korean spice. I'm trying to put like this barbecue box together for summer.
Nice.
So I get a few more jams. And then I don't really know. Like I want to kind of work on some different sauces, some different flavors. I'm just trying to get some new merch in. I've just had some cool beanie hats arrive today. So. Nice.
Definitely.
Quite excited about those.
And you've done some collaborations with people, like artists for your merch as well, haven't you?
Yeah. I've got, there was a few in the pipeline. There was a couple that I was working on for a while. But obviously, you know, you sort of work away in the background, get all the artwork, get the ingredients and stuff together. But then you have to get the green light before you can kind of put it out there and chat about it. So there was one in particular, the first one I was working on was for a band, I guess I can say it because it hasn't actually come into fruition. I don't think it's going to happen, but it was for a band, the band, the Eagles of Death Metal. So there's a friend of mine was kind of working as their touring guitarist and he came up with the idea to do it. I put the whole, put the source together, put the labels together. We kind of sent them out to the band. He was doing a bit of guitar teching for them. But we just had, because of Corona, we had problems with the post going back and forth. Oh. So I think they sort of landed somewhere, an airport somewhere, and then because it was like a food-based product, it got sent back to the UK, and then they sent it back again, and then it ended up costing loads. Oh, it was just a complete nightmare. And I think it's kind of half to do with COVID and half to do with Brexit and yada yada, but basically it was a bit of a full start, that one. So then the second one that I was working on, I got approached by a guy called Ryan Kruger, who's just directed this movie Fried Barry, which has now landed on Shudder, which is amazing, by the way. I don't know if you guys have seen it yet.
No, not yet, but we'll definitely add it to the list. Definitely.
It's a complete trip, man. It's really cool. It's Salvador Dali. The Salvador Dali of movies, darling.
You know what? Actually, I remember Hannah showed me a trailer for it the other day, so it's in our watch list. So,
it's a really trippy. It's great. It's right up my street. It's like a... In fact, I think you guys will love it. It's about a sexed up alien or something. A guy, I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it properly. Basically, I'm going off track. But basically, so Ryan approached me. He was sort of following the Dean of the Dead brand, and they were looking for some cool stuff to add to their merch.
Yeah.
And he just said, would you fancy like developing a hot sauce for the merch?
Nice.
And he told me that AMC had picked it up. AMC, wow. Obviously. Famous with Walking Dead, they'd picked up the movie, they were putting it on Shudder, and it's, yeah, I think it was released last week. and it's already gone up to like just shy of 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. The movie's absolutely smashing.
So
he kind of asked me at a very early stage if I wanted to be involved, and I was just like, yeah, he's a really, really nice guy. And I had no idea sort of where the movie was heading. And, you know, I was chatting to him earlier today, and he was like, yeah, we're stocking it on all the Walmarts out in the States and da, da, da.
Wow. Hey, that's awesome.
That's been really exciting. But, yeah, I've got, and I guess this is a bit of an exclusive.
Yeah, go ahead, man. We love that.
Do a little exclusive collaboration drop. There's an event in happening in October. It's a horror convention called For the Love of Horror, run by Monopoly Events. Huge event. Monopoly are a fantastic company, and they do the Liverpool Comic Con, Scotland Comic Con, For the Love of Horror, Sci-Fi, a number of events, and they're really cool. Get some really, really good guests. And they've actually asked me to develop and collaborate on a hot sauce as part of their merch for this year's event, which is great.
Awesome. Yeah, man.
Because it's going to be massive. Yeah, they've got some really, really cool guests.
It seemed to have just grown. We've unfortunately not had a chance to go, but every year I see it just seems to get bigger and bigger.
Oh, man, it's huge, yeah. I think so much so. They hold it in a venue called Bowlers.
That's it,
in Manchester,
yeah.
Which I think they actually own that venue. I think that's their venue. Right. But it's wicked. It's a little bit off the beaten track, but it's great. It's got loads of different sort of arenas and separate sections. And I think the year before was the first year that I ever traded there, and they had like pretty much almost the whole cast of the Lost Boys.
Nice.
Like Kiefer was there. Alex, I can't remember his surname. Bill and Ted, basically. Bill from Bill and Ted. He was there. Bill S. Preston, Esquire. He was there.
That's pretty awesome, man. No, that's it's mad how just things keep continuing to grow for you. You know, the fact that you started these hot sauces off because you went to conventions yourself, and now from going to conventions as Dean of the Dead with your hot sauces, it's just growing, you know, into multiple things, working with the film, working with Monopoly Events as well now. It's just expanded, hasn't it?
It's just a really bizarre journey. And it's just really, some of the places that I find myself in, I'm just like, yeah, it's just a really bizarre journey. And I think at the end of the day, it's just a bottle of bloody hot sauce, but seems to be working.
You know what, when you've got good names, good hot sauce, good puns, let's be honest, you're good on your puns, so obviously there's the Fried Barry, Dean of the Dead versus Fried Barry hot sauce out as well, but that's not the only movie you've worked with then, really, has it? You've worked on other movies more recently too.
I was quite lucky, actually. A friend of mine, a guy called Jason, I met him doing events, and he sort of just messaged me out of the blue saying, I might have something for you, like give me a call. Called him up, and he was actually working as the casting director on the new Jeepers Creepers film.
Nice.
And he said that the opening scene's going to be set at like a horror festival. And they're looking to basically set up a load of stalls. So, you know, when they're filming and the actors and the cast and the extras are kind of just meandering around, they want a kind of lot of sort of horror themed stalls dotted around. And at first there was like a few kind of price points, you know, I think they used to sort of put in a bit of money and stuff like that. But I basically said, like, I can't, you know, I'm not in a position where I could do that. So he just said, look, come along anyway. We'll get you in somewhere kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I went along, turned up on the set. One of the guys, I think he was one of the producer guys, was sort of said, oh, you know, go and set up in that tent over there. And then one of the guys from the art department came along and was like, you won't be seen in there. He was like, we've got an empty stall right out front where all the action's going on. Like, you can have that if you want. I was like, oh man, like literally just fell in my lap from out of nowhere. So we're literally right in the, you know, the center of all the action, and I haven't actually seen the final cut. There's been no trailer or nothing's been released yet. But I'm hoping that when the movie gets released, you can at least catch a glimpse
of
the story. people in the background.
Definitely, man. Definitely.
So we did. So I met Kate Monroe.
I was just about to say, yeah, you met Miss Kate Monroe there on set.
Yeah, she's lovely, and I love Kate. She's such a cool person, and I actually met her for the first time on that set. She just kind of walked past, and I recognised her by her hair colour, and just like, oh, I think, yeah, you know. And so she was there to do some makeup, and she did. They had these guys in doing like fire breathing and sort of somersaults, all this kind of stuff. She kind of did all these guys up. Nice. And then one guy in particular, he kind of did this like weird kind of flip thing. She did an amazing job. He looked amazing. And they filmed him. I think he was breathing fire, and he kind of did this flip, and he did it right in front of the stall, and it looked amazing.
Nice.
Somebody who was working on the film turned around to her and said, I will probably use that in the trailer because it was such an awesome looking shot. Nice. So, I mean,
fingers crossed, man.
It'd be so cool if, like, you know, she gets her, you know, makeup work in there, and I also get my still there in the background. I'd have to give her a big high five.
Yeah, definitely, man. And that's what I love about this industry as well, is that, you know, the sort of scare attraction mixed in with horror, mixed in with film and theatre, photography. Yeah. Although it's all its different subgenres, it all sort of merges together, and
Definitely,
you know, collaborations are built. You know, you Absolutely. And Kate working on multiple things, including another movie as well, The Last Retreat.
Oh, it's a classic.
That was a blast of a week, that was, wasn't it?
That was a day. I haven't watched that in a while, actually. I'm going to have to revisit that.
Yeah, check it. Yeah, definitely.
What a ride that was. Yeah, that was literally just hit the ground running, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. In case anyone's unsure, myself, Dean, Callum, Frankie, the whole team from Scream Camp, those guys created the Retreat overnight horror scare experience. I've experienced it. Dean's experienced it. A whole host of other people now have experienced it and given it phenomenal reviews. Well, basically, a movie has been created from it. You know, myself, Dean, Callum, the whole Scream Camp team. Dean, do you want to let everyone know how that sort of started, how that came to be?
Yeah, so I think Callum actually just sort of messaged me out of the blue. I think we were looking for, because we met at one of Monopoly's events. It was actually for Love of Sci-Fi. Yeah. And we sort of kept loosely in contact. And we were looking for some sort of project to work on together, just so we could just hang out. You know, we were becoming good friends, and, you know, we both had a lot of sort of creative ideas. So we were looking for something that we could do, just, you know, the two of us to collaborate. Yeah. I remember seeing, you know, the Retreat, and I wrote this text out to Callum, and I was about to send it saying, you know, this, the whole Retreat idea, you should maybe turn it into a film. Turn it into a movie. Maybe we could do this. Maybe we could just sort of do, you know, create a little indie film. Before I'd sort of sent in the text, he called me up and suggested the same thing. So that was pretty much it. We spent about a week just sitting there on our laptops on Zoom calls, just going back and forth with script ideas and just sort of, you know, it's obviously based on the scare attraction, The Retreat, but obviously, you know, turning it into sort of, you know, movie format. Fleshing it out a little bit more, and that's it. It literally came around super quickly. We did it on a super budget,
definitely.
And all shot on an iPhone.
Yeah, all done on an iPhone 12, edited on iMovie.
Edited by your good self.
Yeah, man. It was definitely a surreal set. You know, shooting it was really cool fun. Obviously, we had Andy as well from Scream Factory joining us.
Oh, man.
It was just a blast, wasn't it? It was sort of new to all of us, but we all sort of, you know, put in all our 100% and all had a blast, really, didn't we?
Oh, definitely, man. It's so much fun. And there's the one scene in particular. When I think back on like my memories of filming that, and the one of the main ones that sticks out in my mind is the scene with you,
me getting killed.
Because I just remember, like, it was all of us, you know, there's me, Callum, yourself, and, you know, Emma, I think, was there with us. Oh, I can't remember who else was there.
Pagan,
Pagan, that's right, yeah, Pagan there. So, and then, you know, obviously, sort of you know, in that scene, for anyone who has watched it or hasn't watched it yet, sticking a bag over Mikey's head. Yeah. suffocating him, rope around the neck. It was a little bit, and it got a little bit intense.
Yeah, man, yeah. I had a real nosebleed.
A real nosebleed, yeah. You could give yourself a nosebleed on cue, which is an amazing life skill. I just remember filming it thinking, what am I doing? But I said, not only that, like if any dog walkers or anyone walks past, because it was a public place we were filming it, they're literally going to be like, oh my, they're going to be straight on the phone to the
police. People in a load of masks with a shovel killing a guy. But yeah, definitely, it made for some, great... and what it's exactly what it is, isn't it? It's a budget found footage horror movie.
We got it up on Amazon as well, you know.
Yeah, definitely. It's available to buy and rent on Amazon now, guys. So yeah, go check it out.
Yeah, man.
Definitely. And then hopefully Jeepers Creepers will be out soon as well. We'll be able to check that out as well. Let's talk about some more recent stuff that you've been doing as well. You've been doing some pretty gnarly horror photo shoots as well.
Yes. Yeah,
and talk to us about those, because I know you're working with Miss Kate Monroe on that as well.
Yeah. So they came around. So a friend of mine, who is he's a bass player in one of the bands that I play in, a guy called Kylan. He's been a photographer for years, and he does a lot of sort of weird and wonderful and twisted, kooky shots. You know, before we even did any of these, He had this idea. We were actually playing a gig one night, and he said, I've got this idea that I want to do. It's almost like take like a grim fairy tale story and kind of turn it on its head. So, you know, rather than having for example, the princesses being killed by the, you know, the big sort of serial killer or whatever, we're going to twist it around so that they're the ones that are, you know, doing the killing. And there was so I don't know if you saw those shots, the ones with the two princesses and then me and the kind of, man. It's almost like a Jason hockey mask.
Yes.
And then we did in the same... We rented out this studio called Murder Mile Studios in Walthamstow, which is an amazing place. Just loads of really weird, macabre, like, furniture everywhere and big four-poster beds and all kinds of crazy... It's like, looked like Marilyn Manson's living room. So we did a couple of shots there. And then, so basically, he was just like, you know, we're doing it on a super budget. I can't really, afford... to pay you or anything like that. Do you want to bring along some sources and chuck them in the shots and use them for promo? So I was like, hell yeah. So I did that, started putting them up on my social media. And I think that was kind of a turning point where people, I don't know, it sort of took me to a different level. They were just, you know, obviously worked really well with the horror theme and, you know, the shots just looked really slick. And I was getting some really, really good feedback from those. So I messaged Kylan again and said, we have to set up another one, man. And, the horror genre is just, you can be as creative as you like, you know. It's just boundless. There's so many things you can do with it. So we're sort of picking out, you know, different horror films and different styles and doing our own little twists on them. So, for example, the more recent one we've done is sort of our take on My Bloody Valentine. So you've got the two minors. Yeah. Well, we try and keep them sexy. We try and, you know, throw a bit of spice, a bit of kink in there as well.
Well, it's sort of
sex, man, you know.
It's definitely, it's a Dean of the Dead style. It sort of just works for the type, you know, like these hot sauces, they're for adults. You're not going to be giving these hot sauces to kids. You know, it even says 18 rated on your packaging. Do you know what I mean? So there's no harm in having some, you know, some really cool shots by a fantastic photographer. Obviously, you know, Kate's worked on some recent ones as well of a bit sexy, a bit kinky, but still horrific and gory. And it all just works for the whole big brand, doesn't it really, buddy?
Yeah, definitely, man. Yeah. So we did that. Was that recent shoot that came out really well?
Yeah,
the minor shoot, and then we did the we kind of had we always kind of have like two ideas, so it's also like two themes for the day. So we do like the first. So basically, like a 6-hour shoot. With the first 3 hours, we'll work on the minor shoot, and then the second half, we'll kind of think of a different theme. In that case, it was clowns. So I wanted to do something that was kind of, I'm a huge Rob Zombie fan, which is why I love the kind of that kink element, because, you know, he's got that, you know, sexy kinky kind of vibe going on.
Definitely,
with his always, you know, dancing at the side of the stage and in cages and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I kind of like to think of myself as the Rob Zombie of the Rob Zombie made hot sauces.
Yeah, man, it makes sense. It works.
That's what I was trying to get. That's what I was trying to slot into.
Definitely.
Yeah, so the second half, I wanted to do something that was sort of clown themed, but almost a bit like 31. I don't know if you've seen 31. Rob Zombie's 31.
I haven't. No.
You've got the two killer clowns in it. Basically, they're kind of very. I mean, I said to Kate, you know, we were trying to figure out what kind of clown to go for, and she instantly was like, okay, so like a grungy vibe, like grungy clown look. Yeah. And that's exactly what she came up with. And that one was a bit of a loose idea that just came together really well. And yeah, I'm totally loving these shots at the minute. We've got another one coming up soon. Actually, today we just arranged to do another one.
Oh, nice.
In like a barber shop. So we're doing like a kind of Sweeney Todd vibe. So,
oh, that'd be cool.
That should be quite cool. Yeah,
definitely, yeah. Man. Yeah,
it was like slip with a razor, you know.
Yeah, 100%. And I'm checking the shots out now as well, guys. I'll put all the links to Dean of the Dead's socials in our show notes below. So head over, give it a like, you know, a comment, a love heart, whatever you can on any socials, and follow as well. Because yeah, there's some quality stuff, man. It seems like you going into the hot sauces, going into films, going into photography. It's like you're sort of, even with the music as well, it's just you're living and loving and breathing horror, basically.
Yeah, definitely, man. And that was literally what I set out to do, you know. And it's so, and I always so weird, because I just think this is all kind of stemmed from making a few hot sauces.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm just trying to make it more than that. And I think I'm just trying to build the Dean the Dead as a brand, so it's not just hot sauces.
Definitely,
it's, you know,
there's
a production side to it. And I'm starting off a podcast myself, actually.
Nice.
But it's going to be just a horror. So I've got a couple of guests lined up. I've got, and I'm very, very new to it, so I don't know how they're going to turn out. But it's going to be basically just chatting about horror films. It's me and a friend of mine, Marco, who's an Italian guy. He's a nice, mad, mad horror fan. And we've got a few guests lined up. So we've got the guy that played Leatherface from Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. He's going to be one of our first guests. A guy from the Film Society. We've got Ryan Kruger, who directed Fried Barry. He's going to come on and do this. So just kind of, I'm just kind of dipping my toe in that, you know,
definitely,
field,
man,
as well.
Yeah.
Seeing what happens. Just building the Dean of the Dead brand and just seeing where it ends up.
Yeah, 100%. The sky's the limit, man. Because you've also, like you mentioned there, Dean of the Dead Productions, and obviously working with The Retreat there. And you've got Dean of the Dead TV, obviously your YouTube channel as well.
Yeah.
So you've been doing some like screen park visits with us last season and whatnot. Is that what you want to get more into as well moving forwards, more of the scare scene?
I would absolutely love to. So I was chatting with Michael Bolton about, I was actually supposed to be a sponsor at ScareCon this year.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to come along to Thorpe Park and, you know, set up a stand, and I was going to do a collaboration with him and do a ScareCon source for the event. It was like a bit of a limited edition thing, but obviously it didn't go ahead. Although the awards last night were fantastic, man. The stream that they did was amazing.
Yeah,
but yeah, unfortunately, we couldn't all be there. So yeah, next year, hopefully I'm gonna, if Michael allows it, I'm gonna go along and do the same thing and sponsor that. And then yeah, that's just another in for me in the scare attraction industry, you know, in that world. But I'd love to, man. I'd love to possibly collaborate with the Scream Camp guys and do something with them. And
yeah. Sky's the limit, yet again, man.
Definitely. We actually live on some farmland, and our landlord, they're in their 80s, so I don't think they'll go for this. But every now and again, I feel like knocking on the door and say, how can we just rent out some of this land and put some marquees on it and create some, you know, scare attraction?
No,
they definitely won't go for it.
Yeah. Think of the check, man. Just say, I'm going to get a really good check for you. You're going to like it.
Unlocked Vision, proud sponsors of the Scare Track podcast. UVE are a multi-award-winning themed attraction and design company, providing bespoke themed attractions, theming, events, and experiences. Contact UVE today by visiting unlockedvision.com. Now, let's return back to the show. And remember, let's get scared.
And obviously, we met last year, basically, you know, on set of the retreat, which was awesome to make. And obviously we met at Orton Towers briefly before that, but that was just a quick go on Jewel because it was raining and that was about it. So so we met last year, and obviously we got to catch up throughout the season as well. We went to Spooky World together. What other events did you get to last season, and let's talk about how you, because obviously it was a very different season with COVID involved, but I think everywhere that we went, you know, 9 places out of 10 made a real good effort to open up safely. Still give us a quality time, man. So what were your highlights of last year's Scare season?
Man, so we went to, my absolute favourite was Scare Kingdom. I thought that was amazing. I absolutely love that event. It terrified me. I can't remember the name of the first maze that you go through. It was the TV, whatever TV.
Bliss TV. The Paradise Foundation Bliss TV, that's
it. It's so good, man. And that was the first one. That really set the tone for me.
Definitely.
It was just brilliant. I had such a great time. And Manamortis, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, Manamortis, yeah.
Amazing. I literally came out the other end of it and I was like, oh my God, what was that? I wanted to just turn around and go back through it again just so I could take everything in.
Definitely. The theming in there, it really did. We've said this lots of times. I think it debuted 2013 now, 2014 maybe.
Oh, wow.
But it really did set the tone for theming within UK scare attractions. Like everyone else really upped their game after that.
Yeah, I bet, man. It was really good. Yeah. Honestly, I came out of that and my mind was blown. It didn't stop there. You know, the Blitz, I probably won't get all the names of these right, so forgive me. But yeah, the Blitz, it was the one that was kind of like the waxwork.
Yeah, that's it. What's it called? Body Snatchers, that's it, yeah.
They were all just so good. I really, really enjoyed that event.
Definitely. What did you make of Psychomantium?
I didn't do Psychomantium. I think it's because I'd heard stories about it, right? Yeah. And I'd seen some vlogs on it and da-da-da. And I'm still thinking, God, they're going to make me eat something, or they're going to make me suck something, or just strap me to something. And I was just a bit like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready for that yet. Because I'm such a big wuss, dude. Honestly, I'll go through mazes, my fingers in my ears. And I like it that way. I don't want to, do you know what I mean? I don't
want to be scared.
Yeah, I don't want to be blasé. I don't want to just be like, you know, I've seen it all before. I don't want to ever kind of see what's behind the scenes or spoil the magic. I want to be that terrified, you know, sort of going through and my eyes half shut. But at the same time, I'm just fascinated by it. But anyway, no, it was me and my partner, Laura, and she was just like, I'm definitely not going through. I was like, well, if you're not going to go through, then maybe I will. And then I just kind of, you know, managed to usher out of the park and escaped.
That's fair enough, though, dude.
I do now wish that I'd done it, to be honest.
An acquired taste, I'll be honest. Like, it has changed over the years. There's been like 20 incarnations of it now. And there was a period where it did get very much force feedy, like, drinking shots of stuff I don't even want to know and stuff like that.
Right.
So those ones were grim because I don't, you know me, I can't even eat your sauce. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, man, I'm gagging just thinking about it, man.
So there's some real bad stuff in there. But that's why I was like, last year they made it more visual rather than invasive, I'd say. So
I guess because they had to.
I think they might continue to do that. I think the new style sort of worked, especially maybe this year, because although we're, elephant in the room talking about COVID, hopefully it's all gone-ish. I still think we might be keeping distance in some respects in scare attractions, probably.
I was chatting to someone who works at Scare Kingdom recently, actually, and they said that, I think, because there's a lot of new health and safety regulations and contracts and da-da-da, so they can't actually go as far as they have done in the past, even when things are relaxed.
Right.
So I don't think they'll bring back the eating of, I don't know, raw eggs or whatever it was. I don't know what they used to force feed.
It's usually a shot, like a shot of something that was supposed to be like something dodgy from a person, basically. Some weird stuff in there. But it's kind of cool if they don't put it back to the way it was either as well then, because I guess it's kind of like, you know how people look back on things fondly? I think I'm going to look back on it like maybe in 5 years' time and go, wow, do you remember when we used to do all those weird, screwed up, fucked up things at Psychomantium? Like, it'd be cool to talk about it.
See, if I'd have known it was just visual, In fact, and you know, I should have known that anyway, because it's obviously the COVID, you know, pandemic was going on. So I should have known that anyway. But I think I would have gone through thinking back on it. Yeah. Oh, well.
As always this year, it's coming back.
Yeah,
it's back for this year. And it's an excuse to try some more stuff, man. I mean, I know last year you did Scare Kingdom, you did Spooky World with us. Is there anything, anywhere you haven't been that you really want to get to?
Oh, we did. Oh, yeah, man. We drew up a big list. So, and I was just going to say another one that we actually went to twice last year. Was Extreme Scream.
Ah, yes.
I love that park. That was really cool. Went there for the first time in 2019. Mm. And I always remembered that the village was the standout one there for me.
It's a beast, isn't it, the village?
Oh, man. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Again, just, and I was a bit braver last year. So I sort of had eyes almost fully open. I wanted to see all the set pieces in there because it was just, oh man, it was that again, just an epic walkthrough maze. So we did it sort of once quite early in October, and then we actually did it for the second time on Halloween itself.
Oh, nice.
And there, just some of the Roman actors there, that Joe Erotic guy was brilliant.
Yeah, that little guy.
So good, man. And then they had this kind of like weird. Did you see the weird spider sort of crawly figure?
I did. Yeah. That was cool.
That was cool. Beaver Manners, I think is how you pronounce it. I thought that was brilliant. I thought that was because that used to be not Ashell Penitentiary. That was the
Stilton Hall Hotel House Bar.
Hotels. That's it. Yeah. But Beaver Manners, I thought that was brilliant. I thought that was really good.
They did a really good job of that. Definitely.
Yeah. So I loved Extreme Scream. There's some that I really want to go to, and when we was watching the ScareCon last night, I had a pen and paper and I was kind of making a list of the ones that I wanted to visit. There's the Yarmouth one, which I think won an award.
Yes,
that's on the list. But ones from previous, I really want to visit Screamfest Burton, never been to that one.
Yeah.
Screamland Margate, I've never been to that one. I don't know if these are all coming back, I hope they are. And I don't know if I don't even know what I'm trying to say. Sorry. But yeah, Screamfest Burton, Screamland Margate.
I'll tell you where I think you would love, and I don't want to overhype it, but it's a favourite here on the channel, Dr. Fright's Halloween Nights.
I've done that one. I did that one in 2019. There was the one in particular, I think it was the Hollywood something.
Yes.
I'm really bad with names.
Yeah, Hollywood Horror Director's Cut.
Yeah. They had these screen masks. Yeah, do you remember that particular scene? They had all the screen masks set out like in a cinema.
Yeah. Oh. That was a good room, that was. That maze is probably always my scariest of the year. Like, it was the third time it came back, in, obviously in sort of different incarnations and different sets and whatnot, but the theme came back. So it was director's cut, Hollywood Horror, and some of those scenes in there are probably the scariest of the season.
Excellent. I really enjoyed that. There's only four mazes there, wasn't there? But they were really, really good. I really enjoyed that. There was the Killer Clowns from Outer Space, and I think it had a slightly different name. Yeah. That was really cool. Yeah, I thought that was a really cool
It's a different
event.
Style event, isn't it? It's more like you're on the set of a B-movie, or you're at like a grungy sort of festival style thing. It's very different. You're in market. Yeah. They build that literally within like 3 weeks. They build the whole thing.
Yeah, because it's all in marquees, isn't it? So they must just erect all the marquees and then just literally build it, get it ready. But what a great job, though. It was so good. That particular scene was a real standout for me with all the screen masks. That was so, so good. I'm trying to think, what else did we do? Farmageddon, we did that year too. Yeah. I don't remember much of the mazes, but that was... I was only really just sort of getting into... scare attractions then. Yeah. So I was just sort of trying to get the themes and see what was going on. And, you know, that was my first kind of, you know, seeing all the Roman actors and that was great. They had like a live band,
It's a cool event, is Farm. They've got quite a cool, I love how the UK over the years is sort of like getting not just the mazes right, but that whole atmosphere, the central hub, you know. And Farmageddon had an awesome one with the street team as well. It's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. They had like this old, was it like an old granddad going around in like a sort of...
His mobility...
Oh, it was like a remote control armchair.
Oh, that was it. Yeah.
Oh, it's great, man. I just love the effort that these parks put in to it. It's so good.
Definitely, definitely. And I'm guessing you're similar to us and planning your list for Halloween 2021.
We've literally just started, actually. We've got, because I have to try and work it around events. I've got a whole list of events coming up from July onwards. Events just kind of go into overdrive. That's like cool. Comic Cons, Horror Cons, and chili festivals. I've never actually traded at a food festival yet. It's always been Comic Cons and Horror Cons and stuff like that. So I've got a load of chili festivals coming up. But yeah, we are. I have to try and work it around all of that, because I know we've got an event we're doing in Scotland halfway through October, nice. And then we've got For the Love of Horror in Manchester the week after. I'm sponsoring the Dead of Night Film Festival in Liverpool at the beginning of the month. So I'm trying to sort of tailor it all around. So that's in Liverpool, so I think we'll do Farmageddon whilst we're there.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on in Scotland. Do you know of any?
They do something called Outbreak at M&D's, but I'm not sure how close you might be to M&D's. So Scotland's a big place, I guess. So
sure. Yeah, it's going to be in Edinburgh. So yeah, I'm sure that they Edinburgh's a very macabre place.
Yeah, you'll find plenty of stuff to do there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Well, at least
we're starting to get the putting the roadmap together and planning. I'm sure we'll probably tag somewhere along the line. We'll catch up with each other somewhere.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Definitely, man. Definitely. My now dates are starting to be released. This is when people start planning. People always say, "Why do you plan the October so early?" And it's like, because there's lots to fit in.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's, trying to figure out where to put them and how to have the best Halloween, really.
Yeah, and you got to save for it as well.
Petrol alone, man. Petrol. Exactly. Jeez. Hotel rooms, everything. It's mad. Oh, but we do it for the love, man.
Oh, absolutely.
So you're planning out your October. I'm sure it's going to be absolutely jam-packed with scare events and other events that you're at as well. But where can all these Scare Track listeners check out your store? What conventions you're doing? What events you got coming up for the rest of the year?
Yeah, so we've got we had a couple planned in June, but the government guidelines hadn't quite come through for these events in time, so there was a bit of a risk with insurances and yada yada, all that kind of boring stuff. From July onwards, everything's basically been given the go ahead so far. Touch wood, I don't want to jinx it, fingers crossed, but it's going in the right direction anyway. So from July onwards, I'm at the London Film and Comic Con, which is at Kensington Olympia in July. I've got the HorrorCon UK, which is in Sheffield in September. For the Love of Horror in Manchester, October. For the Love of Sci-Fi, which is in Manchester again in December. And then it's just going to be, I mean, I always put all my events up on the website. So if anyone wants to try and catch me at an event anywhere, just, you know, I can go there and I'll put all the lists up there. I'm doing the BBC Good Food Show in Birmingham in November. There's a whole bunch, but they're the ones that I can think of off the top of my head. But For the Love of Horror I know they're selling out of tickets very, very fast. And that is one that people should definitely go and experience because, man, they kill it. It's such a great weekend. And they have a big party like on the first night. So it's Saturday, Sunday. On the Saturday night, they have a big party where they have like live bands. They've got Meatloaf there.
Nice.
I mean, he's there as a guest. So I don't know. I mean, he's got to get up and crack a few tunes out, hasn't he? Meatloaf. Definitely. But it's such an awesome event. It really is. And then my other favourite is the HorrorCon in Sheffield as well.
Yes, I've been to that a couple of times. Awesome event.
Oh, it's so good, man. And I love, they do it at the Science and Adventure Centre or the Magna Centre in Sheffield. It's so cool. Perfect place for a HorrorCon.
Yeah.
And that was the first event I ever traded at. And so I was booked in to do last year, and that would have been sort of like a lap of honor for me, you know, because the 2019 was the first time I ever traded anywhere at Sheffield HorrorCon. So, but yeah, it got cancelled, so I was super gutted. Definitely, but man, really excited to go back there and get back into it, man.
Definitely, man. And it's on my agenda this year when, like you say, things are more back to normal to do more HorrorCons and Comic-Cons. I had a few similar to you planned out because I've only ever done scare conventions. And like I say, I did HorrorCon in Sheffield twice. But I want to go to, you know, loads more because there's just so much cool stuff out there that you know, you don't necessarily have to be a mega, mega sci-fi fan, but you'll probably still enjoy a sci-fi convention because I like Doctor Who or something like that. Do you know what I mean? There's going to be something for everyone at all of these style events, isn't there?
Well, because they always try and they keep it as prolific as they can as well. So like the horror, for the love of horror, for example, is just that they'll have live music. You know, they got a bar, you can have a drink. They got the guests. They've got the market hall with all the traders. They even have a scare maze.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's just so much going on, and it really is just a great couple of days. You know, I wish they'd do it over 3 days because there's too much to get in over just the 2 days. It's just such an awesome time. Meet some really cool people. All the cosplayers come out, and it's brilliant.
Definitely, man.
It's great.
I can't wait to be able to get back to some normality so we can start doing that stuff again, because it's the kind of stuff we live for, really, isn't it?
Oh yeah, hell yeah.
Awesome. So Dean of the Dead, a huge thank you for coming on to this podcast. Really, really do appreciate it, and really looking forward to what you've got coming up next. I'm sure we're going to get some scares together this October as well.
Definitely, man. Thanks so much for having me on as well, man. I'm a big fan of Scare Track. I love what you guys do. Someone told me about Scare Track for the love of sci-fi, and I've watched it ever since, and you know, and now I'm on it. So
awesome. Oh, I appreciate that.
Win. Yeah, no, thanks, man. Really appreciate it. Thanks, man.
No, it's awesome. Thanks so much, and we'll see you soon.
Cool. Take it easy, dude.
You're listening to Scare Track.
So there we go, folks. First of all, a huge thank you to Dean of the Dead for coming on to the Scare Track podcast. Really, really do appreciate it. Go and check out his website and his socials. Give him a follow. I'll put them all in the show notes below, so just click the links. Why not buy some horror hot sauces, guys? See how you can handle it with those hot sauces. They're bloody hot. I can't take it, but loads of people are loving them, especially over on the Pumpkin podcast, so check that out on YouTube. Speaking of YouTube, if you are a fan of the Scare Track podcast, which is obviously our main feature here at Scare Track, then go over to our YouTube channel and check out our mini Scare Cam episodes. We've got Scare Cams, we've got Coaster Track stuff, we've got Behind the Screams episodes, we've got our movie reviews, we've got loads of stuff over on our YouTube channel, and we're so close to 1,000 subscribers. So, of course, here at the podcast is our main feature, but on the side, we do a little bit of YouTube as well. So that's youtube.com/ScareTrack. Click that subscribe button and help get us to 1,000 subscribers. Of course, be sure to follow us over on our social media pages as well. We love interacting with you guys, not just at Halloween, not just during event season, but all year round. We love doing lots of interaction stories on our social media and getting you guys involved. So follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and Facebook. Just search for Scare Track. We've had a few messages recently regarding our merchandise on our website. Go and check out our website, scaretrack.co.uk. At the moment, our merchandise site is currently under refurbishment. We are working with Flesh and Metal. We're creating a brand new site for all our merchandise. You can go and follow them as well on Instagram. It's flesh.n.metal, and as soon as that's up and running, we'll let you guys know over on our social media as well. So I think that brings us almost to the end, apart from saying a huge thank you to Michael at ScareCon and his whole team at ScareTour for putting on an awesome Scare Awards night. It was the Scars the other day. We really enjoyed it. You heard me and Dean chatting about it here on the podcast. Such a fantastic way to celebrate the scare attraction industry here in the UK. And that's what we're all about. We really love what Scare Tour and ScareCon do. And obviously throughout the whole year, we all have our different things to try and celebrate the UK scare industry and elevate it to that next level and show the rest of the world what we're up to. Whether it be Park Scares and Glitter with their Scary Vision, or us with our top 10 videos and the Scare Track approved badges that are going to be going out soon as well. We released our first one to Hourglass Escapes. They did an amazing online escape room. But as events are opening up, as we're going to be visiting these mazes, I'm sure there'll be a fair few people really well worthy of having that extra credit of giving us an amazing, amazing experience. So on that brings us to the end of this episode. A huge, huge thank you for listening, and let's get scared.